let me ask our Paul, since this would presumably guarantee a meeting with the Finance Committee, which is what you seemed interested in, do you object to Lydia's language?
No, I guess I don't object to that, but we, I don't object to that, but it's really important that the finance, local finance committee, be able to get into this.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Is there any objection to Lydia's language, to the both end? Hearing no objection, that becomes the main amendment on the table. Now, is there any objection to using Lydia's language to amend the main motion, which is what I sent out? Hearing none, that motion is now amended, and we are back to discussion of the main motion as amended.
I'm getting some extra noise in here.
It's a whole other
talking, thing. Please mute.
Yeah, something's going on.
If you're not talking, press the mute button on your phone. There we go.
All right. I think I was...
Yeah, we're going to go back to you, Paul, and then I have Lydia on stack behind you. So you were working your way through the rest of the motion.
All right. I remember everything I was going to say. The $500, that's an extremely low thing. I mean, you know, you can, the electric bill for the past few months came in suddenly at $388. That's $5,000. $500 in New York City is, you know, a pair of shoelaces. So that figure is way too low. It would make it so that he couldn't do anything. He's got $500 plus bills, flopping in all the time. Paper will cost that much. So I think that's too low. You gotta raise that. The third paragraph, I really have to think that this is premature. The problem is we don't know how bad it is, and I think we should really get a handle on that before we start having plans to sell, lease, or some other way get rid of BAI. So I think I will have an amendment on that. And
go back to the 500.
Let's take it a paragraph at a time, Paul.
Okay,
so
paragraph at a time. 500 is too small.
What do you think is appropriate?
Maybe 2,000?
Well, 1, what do you think?
Which is small, by the way. 2,000 is not a big figure.
1,000. Wait.
Hold on.
This is Lydia. I was next on the stack, and it was about that part of the amendment.
Lydia, what do you think?
I think it should be deleted. Not because I haven't heard from the CFO or the ED or anybody as to if that changes anything, and to impose on the CFO and ED for something that we don't know if that's the issue. We know that income is a big issue, but we don't have a report from anybody as to whether expenditures, if there are, you know, excessive expenditures, which I would tend to doubt, but I don't know, again, based on...
Let's ask Raul. That's why he's a member of this committee. Is this a burden on you? Is it good? Is it too low? Is it too high? What?
I'm sorry, Brian, that wasn't a complete summary of my question. And is it necessary? Thank you.
Okay. The amount may be so very low, but I think that we could probably exempt the utilities onto this motion, and rent, and you know, the recurring rent, and you know, the two rents, the office and the transmitter. We could make exceptions on the non-recurring or exceptions on the recurring items like utilities. And but I think that with the state of the cash, I'm not even talking about the accounting financial statements that would probably present a worse picture than the actual cash, but the nature of the shortfall is probably that those discretionary amounts or discretionary payments that adds up. And right now, WBAI is practically counting dollars and pennies to put together a payroll funding at the end of or every 15 days. And so it is important that we kind of help the GM in prioritizing payments, and at least we will be prepared and we'll be able to see how the funds are being spent on. Not after the fact, but before it gets spent. I really trust the GM that he knows his priorities, and I've been working with the GM about prioritizing payments, and like I said, we will not be unreasonable on that. But I think that having someone to kind of help in determining priorities at the same time managing the cash at this point would be helpful to WBAI so that they could plan their expenditures and finances in the next 2-3 months.
So what about appending the clause to that paragraph that reads, other than for rent, utilities, and other regular recurring expenses?
That probably would be more reasonable.
Does anyone object to adding that language?
And we would
doesn't mean you're in support of the underlying motion.
Say that again?
I said it wouldn't mean that you're in support of the underlying motion.
Our poll.
Sorry,
for a fact.
Our poll.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still think even with putting that in, I think $500 is too low a figure.
That's a fair question. I just want to take it up as a separate question after we dispose of this chunk of the language.
All right. So you're making an amendment, I think, right?
Yeah, I just emailed it out.
Yeah.
So the amendment is to add the clause other than for rent, utilities, and other regular recurring expense.
And payroll? How about payroll?
Oh, yeah, good idea.
sure. And payroll. Rent, utilities, payroll, and other regular recurring expense.
Yeah. I'm good.
Paul, can you sneak in the words?
Yeah, wait one
payroll.
Second. Let me type.
Well, payroll and benefits are recurring and expenses.
Well, that would be... All right, I have append to paragraph 3. Other than for rent, utilities, payroll, and other regular recurring expenses.
I think that covers that.
Okay. Does anyone object to adding that language? Okay. Hearing none, that's now part of the motion we're considering. Now let's take up the question of the threshold amount. Our Paul wants it higher than 500. He suggested 2,000. Barbara burst out 1,000 without being recognized. Lydia, you were raising concerns about the amount but didn't raise a figure. Did you have one in mind?
What? No, I had objected to that, but now with the amended language, I'm good. I had objected to that whole concept until we heard from the CFO, so I'm fine. I don't have an amendment at this for that.
Raul, does the language about regular recurring expenses change your feeling on the threshold amount at all? Sorry, Arpal.
No. There can be things that will pop up that need to be paid, and, you know, they could be well over. $500 is such a low figure. I mean, you know, hey, there's a guy at the door. He needs $650 for the envelopes to mail the premiums out. Well, either you give it to him now or he leaves, and you may not get those envelopes. You know, stuff like that happens. So $500 is just too low.
Adriana?
Go ahead, Adriana.
I think that that is exactly the reason why we are where we are. I think that really we are being, for the language of that motion, I think that we are being really, really, really generous because we are using recurrent expenses, not only payroll. And I really believe that they don't have the $500 to spend. Then I think that it's not that terrible to think that people cannot spend the money that they don't have. And $500 in my for what we see till now, I agree that, you know, sounds so little, but if you put together all the other expenses, I think that $500 is much, much more than what they have. I believe that the $500 is good enough. And we it's not that, you know, if it's any reason, obviously that will be approved if it's a reasonable, you know, expense. I agree with the 500. I think that the 500 is good enough. That's it.
Paul, do you want to make 2000 a motion so that we can vote on it?
I make an amendment. I move to replace in the second paragraph, $500 with $2,000.
Okay. We've had discussion on this. I think we've had good arguments on both sides. Any objections to just putting it to a vote? Arpal, could you call the roll on this?
This is on the $2,000.
Yes, I'm changing the amount to $2,000.
Okay. Okay, this is on changing, in the second paragraph, $500 to $2,000. Jim Boyd. Lydia Brezon?
No.
Adriana Kasanov?
No.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
Abstain.
Marcus Jeter?
No.
Marcus Jeter. What was your vote?
No.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman? Okay, come back. Michael Novick?
No.
Meneja Saba? Raul Salvador?
No.
Barbara Whipperman?
No.
Okay, going back. Jim Boyd isn't here, I think. Okay. Tony Norman? He was here. I am not hearing a vote from Tony Norman. All right. The vote is 1-4, 6 against, 1 abstention.
Okay. We've dealt with the amount and the language of paragraph 2, the final one, and I'll give the floor back to you, R. Paul, was paragraph 3. And I just want to be clear. This is asking for a contingency plan that spells out the cost of winding down operations at BAI. For whatever purpose. Doesn't ask anyone to pursue those things.
This is Lydia.
Tony fell off the call. I didn't know how that went. I was going to vote no, but my phone got disconnected.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll put you in the no category then. It will be 1-7.
How did it come out? What was the outcome?
1-4, 7 against, 1 abstention. Okay.
So no change from 500 so far.
Okay, let me get back. I'm scrolling back up to it. Yeah.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, let me just say. Paragraph three.
I'm letting Arpal take first swing at this. I'll call on you next.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Pardon me as I choke, because I tried to talk about it before even. Yeah, basically, what it says is you're directing, the PNB directs BAI and Pacific to prepare to wind down operations at BAI. And it does say in the event, but still, once you start preparing for something, you're moving in a direction, and this is one thing that will happen is that we have, you know, another fundraiser that will be coming up in 3 or 4 weeks. If this motion passes with that paragraph in it, it is going to blow a hole through the bottom of that on-air fundraiser because people are going to say, why should I contribute if they're going to get rid of it in one way or to wind it down? Who was going to contribute money to a radio station that is being directed to plan to wind down? So right there, this paragraph number three can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think this is not a good idea. I think we need to find stuff out. We need to find out information from BAI management. We need to find out what information Pacifica management has and be able to get enough information to make a rational decision. We don't know enough, and it's possible that the WBAI general manager is about to turn a corner. I don't know that that's the case, but it's possible it could happen and we won't know about it. The other stuff about getting information is absolutely necessary. This third paragraph, I think, is a bad idea. So, you know, if people feel that there is a necessity for something like this, it can you know, you can make some sort of contingency about this in the future, and it should only be done after we really have the facts, which we all know we don't have. I mean, we don't have financial statements, so we're taking a position in this third paragraph that would that really is not justified by what we actually know. We know that there's missing payments and there's a struggle, but how bad is this, and is it maybe about to get better? We just don't know that. So I will make an amendment at this point, and I will type it in here so I don't forget it. I will make an amendment to strike paragraph three.
Straightforward. Lydia.
Tony for the stack.
So I sent out my amendment. The only thing that I would say might be lacking is a drop-dead date. But here's my thinking, is that WBAI has had those 2 years that our Paul talked about for a turnaround from the time that the staff was so drastically reduced. And I personally think all of the stations, I'm not singling out WBAI. I plan to make this motion for every single budget. I don't think with possibly one exception. But I think most stations did not do as well as they thought in this first quarter, and therefore they either have to adjust their budget. But regardless, we have to see, it was all of our stations were hit in a negative way, just about, because even the one station that is probably on target with its budget, but there's no growth at that station. So there are various factors that we have to look at the anemic state of the foundation and in all of its units. So I think it's imprudent not to have a contingency plan for all of our stations. That's just normal conduct for any nonprofit or business. So my amendment is the PMB directs WBAI management and LSB to prepare a recommended contingency plan to the PMB in the event that the stations deficits cannot be stabilized. That doesn't say we're winding down. I agree with our Paul. It doesn't, we don't know if the options that even the PMB may know about that, that could be taken advantage of would be a winding down situation. So that is my amendment.
Tony, okay. Let me think about how procedurally to do that when our Paul's motion is to strike. I'll call on Tony in the meantime. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, I would support what Lee said and what our Paul Martin. I strongly disagree with that language about winding down.
Tony, you are barely audible.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Yes, I agree with our Paul Martin and also Lydia. I would definitely have problems with the language about winding down. But I would add to Lydia, we do need a timetable, whether 30 days or 60 days. But
yeah,
we need a timetable added to that. So 60 days or some sort of time period to put this into effect to come up with some recommendations. But I would strongly disagree with the language of winding down.
Over. Paul, let me ask, Lydia's language, would it satisfy the itch that you were trying to scratch with your motion to strike?
Well, let's see. Okay, let me clarify that amendment. The amendment is to substitute for paragraph 3. The PNB directs WBAI management and LSB to prepare a recommended contingency plan to the PNB in the event that the station's deficits cannot be stabilized. So the new paragraph 3 would be that. Is that it, Mike?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, and if we got there, I think we'd probably be adding a time frame as well.
Yes.
But my question is if you're amenable enough to that language that you'd withdraw your motion to strike so that we can discuss this instead.
I'm reading again, line 1.
Yeah.
Okay, I will withdraw mine with the permission of the group because that's how it works. With the permission of the group, unanimous consent, I will withdraw my amendment to strike paragraph 3. Any objection to that?
No. I don't hear any objection. I did hear a point of order a moment ago. Was that you, Michael?
Yeah, I was going to say we could divide the motion and vote on each paragraph separately.
Yeah, that'll be in order when we get around to voting. Yeah. First, I want to clean up the language we're voting on. So, Adriana, go ahead.
I didn't hear a time limit in that change of paragraph.
So first we will have to substitute Lydia's language, then we can talk about changing Lydia's language. Is there any objection to Lydia's motion to substitute the third paragraph? In other words, to change it from winding down to contingency plan. And I'll note it also changes the actor from national management to local management and LSB. Okay.
Michael, do the sec.
I'm asking if there's any objection.
I'm not sure there's an objection. I more or less simultaneously, I think, sent in an amendment that said something similar, but said investigate all options to maintain operations.
Okay. If there's no objection, we will substitute Lydia's language, and then Lydia's language will be subject to further amendment. Okay. So, hearing no objection, what had been paragraph 4 of my original motion is out. The language that Lydia sent around is in. That's now what's on the floor. Does anyone want to propose a deadline?
Adriana?
Go ahead.
I think that 30 days will be the time limit.
This is Lydia.
Lydia?
45. let's start a bidding war.
Bidding war is going in the wrong direction. Adriana, are you okay with 45?
May I motivate 45?
Can I hear actual language? There's no need to motivate.
I'm okay.
She's okay. So it would be, the actual language would be to insert the word after LSB within 45 days.
Okay, I got it.
Is there any objection to inserting the 45-day deadline?
Is that from
grammatically,
today?
Grammatically, it should go after PNB, because if you put it after LSB, it says...
Changes it. I agree.
Or to prepare within 45 days. You have to put it after prepare, at least.
Okay, after prepare. Our Paul, is your scrivening keeping up with our jabbering?
Yeah, I'm keeping up, except when does the clock start? Today? Tonight?
No, it would be when the PNB acts on this recommendation.
Oh, next year sometime. Okay, so the understanding is that the 45-day clock starts when the PNB actually directs BAI management and LSB to do this.
Yeah, we don't get to direct on behalf of the PNB.
Yeah, I know.
Is there any objection to the 45-day deadline? Okay. Hearing no objection, I'm going to ask our Paul to reread the final paragraph as currently Frankensteined, and then I'll ask Michael if he wants to propose further changes to the language.
Gosh, so hold on a second here. Okay. Okay, I have to plug in and, let's see, within 45 days. The PNB directs WBAI management and LSB to prepare within 45 days a recommended contingency plan to the PNB in the event that the station's deficits cannot be stabilized. Is that the right wording there?
That is correct as far as I'm concerned. Now, does anyone wish to propose further modifications? Michael, it's speak now or hold your peace time.
Yeah, I think I'm holding my peace. I mean, I thought about adding the words to maintain operations, given what our Paul is saying about the fund drive, but I think since it just says recommended contingency plan doesn't affect anything about ending operations or when you end operations, I think it's probably okay.
Okay. Our Paul, could you give us a dramatic reading of the entire motion from start to finish?
Dramatic? Why, yes, I... Okay. All right. From paragraph 4, I will... Okay, I'm going to be skipping around here a bit, so this may be not... this may be a little disjointed. The motion is, the National Finance Committee recommends the Pacifica National Board pass the following resolution regarding WBAI, colon. And I go down to this amendment. Okay. The. All right. The WBAI's general manager shall be required to attend both. Okay. The WBII general manager shall be required to attend the next meeting of both the WBAI Finance Committee and local station board to give a first quarter financial report. Then we get to the $500 that we changed. Okay? And for the next 6 months, WBAI management shall require approval from either Pacifica's CFO or acting executive director prior to making any disbursement greater than, and I'm looking here, $500, other than for rent, utilities, payroll, and other regular recurring expenses. And then paragraph 4 has become, the PNB directs WBAI management and LSB to prepare within 45 days a recommended contingency plan to the PNB in the event that the station's deficits cannot be stabilized. And as far as I can tell, that's everything with all the amendments.
Yeah, Michael, to the stack.
I believe that's correct as well. I've got Michael. Who else? Take it away, Michael.
Okay, so I have a question for the directors because I'm not on the PNB. When I started phrasing my idea of a motion, I said something like, have the interim executive director direct instruct the general manager. And my concern is, does the PNB have the authority to directly instruct the general manager to do something? I'm just asking. If the answer is yes, then fine.
Adriana, you want to speak to that?
Yes. I think that the PNB directs the executive director, and the executive director can direct the general manager. There's not any doubts about that. And I believe that when we were thinking in a similar motion, not exactly like that, but something similar about the GMs bringing to the LSP, you know, the reports, we were talking, putting some more teeth on that in case, you know, the GMs, if they don't do it, that can be directly affect evaluations, you know, because if not, I mean, the GMs can estimate totally the situation, but if the PMP direct the ED and the ED is the direct supervisor of the GMs, I don't think that is any option not to do it. That's it.
So if that's the definitive answer, maybe the language should be changed slightly to reflect that where the PNB is instructing or something that the interim executive director to direct the GM to do those things. Or
You know, the language of the motion doesn't direct anybody. It just says shall be required.
Okay. Well,
but this is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
I agree, you have to put the ED in there.
So you want to insert the words, the interim executive director shall direct WBAI's general manager to attend?
Acting executive director.
I thought the formal title was interim.
Whatever the title is.
This is Barbara with a comment.
Sure, Barbara, go ahead.
I think as a volunteer, the chair of the PNB is acting as executive director. If the person is hired, it's interim.
This is why the passive construction gets us out of so much trouble. I don't see the value in debating or taking a side in this fight. Michael, if you want to propose specific language, send it out. Let's incorporate it or vote on it.
And reopen your motion. change the first few words to the interim executive director shall require WBS general manager to attend. I lost my ability to forward the message. I don't know what happened to it. Hang on a second. Different motions here.
That's it.
Okay, so your your amendment is your amendment would be to change, quote, WBAI's general manager shall be required to the acting executive director shall require the W general manager.
Yeah.
The interim executive director.
Okay, I'm okay with interim.
I had interim. The interim executive director shall require the WBAI general manager to, and then the rest of it is the same.
Well, I think to, let me look. Two was already. Two is already in there. So would, the next thing after the amendment or whatever would be to attend the next meeting, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So the change is from W to start that second paragraph off, WBAI's general manager shall be required to, the change becomes the interim executive director shall require the WBAI general manager.
That's correct.
All right.
Okay. Is there any objection to making that amendment? Hearing none, I hope that is our final amendment. Is there any objection to the full motion as heavily amended? Hearing none, we have a unanimous recommendation concerning WBAI. Our Frankenstein was now adopted. And we are on to KPFK.
So I sent the list, a message I had sent towards the end of December to our interim general manager and Raul in the LSB with some of the figures that we had up to that point. And I didn't get any reply to that. I got another message from the GM, but it wasn't really responsive to that material, and I think he was talking with Raul, so Raul might have more information than I do, but there was a two-pronged plan at KPFK for fundraising during December. One was, I think it was supposed to be originally an 11-day on-air fund drive sandwiched between sort of a quiet drive. I can't say the quiet drive really happened. I mean, my understanding of it was supposed to be should the program actually pitching for a minute.
Hold on a second, Michael. Everyone who is not Michael, please mute your phones. Thank you. Go ahead, Michael.
The December fund drive itself was more or less successful. I think it took 14 or 15 days instead of 11, but it did raise the money it was projected to. The quiet drive, I don't know what the results were in terms of trying to get people to pledge online without premiums before and after. There was a fundraiser during the month, a concert, but that was actually specifically for a restricted Studio A project that's been going on for a while to try to raise money to refurbish that studio as a performing studio again. So I'm not sure if that money can be used for anything else. That was one of the concerns of our finance committee, is that some of the money had been tapped in that restricted account, and I think another one to try to meet current expenses. So there were some figures that Raul gave us at that meeting. He met with our local finance committee and the IGM, and it looked like there was a concern about meeting payroll by the end of January, and I'm not sure if that's been resolved or not. So if he has more information, maybe you can share it.
Raul?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. On the payroll, they were able to meet the payroll for December 31st, and we just did a an updated projection as of today that provided them a cash balance enough to bring them to the end of January, and at the same time, the February fund drive would start at the end of January. So they are now in good shape. We anticipated initially that because of the first 5 days of the fund drive, it shows a very low donation. And then basing on actual cash receipts, we thought that if that trend continued, that they will be in cash shortage by the end of January. However, after the seventh day, the December fund drive had picked up and had collected enough funds to cover their payroll for the 15th, as well as the 31st of January. We are anticipating between now and the end of the month that they will be collecting an additional $100,000, and that will cover the payroll as well as some of the expenses that we have compiled so far. The concert that in December, the initial report said that we ended up in the black. We made some money. I didn't have an indication of whether that was I didn't realize that there was an intention for that concert in December to be used for a specific purpose. I will verify that with I had a few conversations with the GM, but I was never told that. I thought that was going to be a to augment the funds at December, and my apologies if that was an oversight, but I will confirm that with the interim general manager. But as it stands right now, KPFK had about almost $200,000 in the bank, and their payroll is about $65,000 for the next each payroll for the next two payrolls. They made their payroll last December 31st, and they are projected to pay at least half of the central services and the full month's healthcare bill backs for January, and about $80,000 to $90,000 of other expenses. And that's the KPFK. However, I mean, having said that, I don't think that that's the reality that we cover the payroll through the 31st, and a new fund drive is started. Will be starting in at the beginning of February, and we'll be getting enough funds to hopefully cover the February 15th. But that doesn't. We're in a very tight situation, and we have to manage our cash. And the general manager and myself were going through the projection, and we're going to be managing the cash. This is the same thing that we were doing with WBAI, that we really need to kind of prioritize payments here at the at KPFK. But then again, there's really a need of cash infusion at the KPFK, because just like BAI, there are about 1.5 fund right behind in fulfilling the premiums, meaning they're actually fulfilling the premiums from about two fund drives ago, compared to about five to six from WBAI. So there's still that underlying problem that we're just trying to catch up on these bills. So it's either we have an infusion, an immediate infusion of cash, major cash, so that we can rectify that situation so that we'll be able to operate normally, so to speak, here at KPFK. And I think that's the underlying problem at WBAI, although is to get an infusion of cash. Nevertheless, we live by month by month in terms of sustaining our operations. And I think there's a need to kind of revisit the cash and the budget for 2015 and determine how we could manage with the kind of receipts that we have and expenditure that we're committed to, how we're going to do a break even or even exceed, you know, have a surplus so that we could finance the past due bills. So that will be, that should be considered in this particular budgeting process.
Yeah, I mean, just to second that, the big problem is that the station is trying to pay, you know, off deficits incurred in the previous fiscal year at the same time as it's trying to maintain operations the current fiscal year. So it's kind of hard to understand everything that's coming in as expenses, what is actually current, what is, you know, back payments. And we did ask the management for, you know, kind of a clarification of that and probably a reformulation of the budget that was approved, because it just seemed like the income is not coming in at the rate that was anticipated in that budget, and therefore there has to be some kind of reduction in expenses.
So I guess here's my question, and it's similar to WBAI. You know, juggling past due bills is one thing, and it's its own problem. But a continuing deficit that continues to deepen the size of the hole that you're in and the amount of unpaid bills that you have to juggle is another thing. And we were at almost a month ago, it sounded like there was agreement from KPFK that the fulfillment number in KPFK's budget was about 10 points too high, which would mean a budget shortfall of somewhere in the vicinity of $300,000.
Yeah, apparently this, maybe Roel can speak to this. He felt that there was money coming into the bank accounts that was not reflected in the MEMSIS figures that are used to show the fulfillment rate. And I don't know if that's been ironed out or not, and if so, whether the fulfillment rate is closer to what was projected or not. But that's what we're looking for.
This is Roel. Yes, that's another research or review that we're trying to do. For example, the December fund drive, when I asked for a report for that, the overall report, apparently they're not up to date with their posting the actual collections into the MEMSIS system. So there's kind of a lag between the actual processing, and we get the cash. Like right now, we're getting cash in the bank. We have almost $200,000 in the bank, but that's not reflected in the MEMSIS reports on how much we collected. So there's kind of a timing or a lag between the amount that we get from the bank. That's why our revenue numbers are higher than the reports that we get from the MEMSIS reports. And we continue to do that. It's going to accumulate the difference, the gap between the reported fulfillment ratio and the actual cash that we're getting will have some major differences and will accumulate as we go along with that. We need to get that as current as possible, the posting of the cash collections into the MEMSIS system. And that's what we're working on right now.
Does anybody have a KPFK's budget open right now?
I could open it. KPFK. Okay, I got it open.
What does the cash flow sheet say the opening balance should be on January 1st?
The cash flow, $234,000.
And KPFK's what, about 30,000 behind on central service payments as of the first?
They're about 20, that's 18 and 18, 36 as of December. They're behind 18 and 18, $36,000.
So, I mean, if we're using cash as our benchmark, KPFK is 66,000 worse than budget in the first quarter. That annualizes to 266. If we say KPFK is making 10% less fulfillment than it anticipated, that's going to come out to about the same amount. I mean, it seems like we could spend a lot of time fiddling over the details, but there is a structural deficit at KPFK the way it's operating, and waiting too long to do anything about it is just sticking our heads in the sand.
Well, we have a LSP Finance Committee meeting set for January 25th, at which we've asked the general manager to come in with the first quarter and plans for revising the budget to bring expenses into consonance with the actual income that we're generating. And I haven't heard that's not going to happen. So I'm assuming it's going to happen.
I was just expecting we would have a proposed plan in hand by now, based on the last two conversations we had about this.
This is Raul.
Yeah, Raul.
I think Margie and I had several conversations with the interim general manager about plans, about economic alternatives for KPFK, and we have kind of started the ball rolling on that one. We are looking to meet with the union and discuss alternatives into the how we could rectify the financial situation at KPFK. And I think the budgeting process, that's a major consideration on how we could actually show a surplus to finance the past due bills of, for premiums. We are in constant communication with the GM here, and we started some of the initial procedures on how we could address the alternative economic alternatives. We are also doing a day-to-day management of cash. Again, that's not the definite solution, but it's just kind of prioritizing the payments on the obligation and make sure that we allocate some money into the basic needs of the KPFK. And that's where we are. I think there is a plan, and we can probably discuss this in another time or on a closed session, but we're really in contact with the GM here.
Okay, anyone else on KPFK? Raul, let me ask you, do you think similar spending controls to what we recommended for WBAI would make sense at KPFK as well?
Yes, I kind of lean towards that, not because they're in the same situation or really deep finances situation with BAI, but that's because the business operations here, we just made a change in the staffing here at the business department, and we wanted to establish and make sure that there's a second eye that kind of go through the expenses, and that, you know, the expenses are kind of prioritize on a day-to-day basis, so that we'll make sure that the basic expenses and obligations are met from month to month, from week to week, or whatever. But I think it's pretty close. Like I said, it looks like we're gonna make the budget, the payroll on December 31st. But that's relying on the fact that we will be receiving $100,000 worth of deposit between now and then. So, but in the meantime, if expenditures if payments are made that's not in our cash projection, then that projection that we just did, the cash flow projection that we just did and agreed to, may not work, because if people start paying $500 here, $400 there, $1,000 there, $2,000 there, then we'll lost track of the cash situation at KPFK. So I think a similar motion, maybe not even 500 or maybe 1,000, whatever. But I think just because we are stabilizing the business department operation at this point, that we should kind of be the extended arm of the business department here, so that we will be able to prioritize until we stabilize until we get the budget redone. So,
I mean, I'll put this in motion form, but, you know, my feeling, and this applies to my station, KPFA, as well, you know, I feel like any station that's not keeping up with its central service payments, every time it makes a decision to spend money on something discretionary, it's spending the money that should be going to Pacifica's auditor. You know, it's not its own money that it's spending. So I'm more than comfortable applying the same check and balance through this period to other stations. I put it into motion form. I'll send this out in a minute. I'm moving that. Hold on. Sorry.
This is Lydia. Am I muted?
You're...
No, we can hear you.
Yeah.
So can we use the same amended language as opposed to your original?
Yes. Yeah.
And I would like to see up to 1,000, and that's it. Because as I said with WBAI, I think every station needs to have a contingency plan. These are uncertain times regardless. So.